Let us pray. Holy God, open your word. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that our eyes may be enlightened and that we may know the hope to which we have been called. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life."
Our second scripture reading this morning is Psalm 98. "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The last few weeks, we've been going through the parables that Jesus used to explain the kingdom of God. These stories have gotten increasingly more difficult and, dare I say it, demanding. We talked about forgiveness, and how our receiving forgiveness from God requires that we forgive our brothers and sisters down here. We talked about God being unfair, paying some people better than others so that everyone would have enough. We talked about an amazing wedding banquet where everybody off the street was invited and welcome, but where you could be thrown out if you refused to put on the wedding garment or put on Christ. We talked about talents and about God expecting us to put the talents he gave us to work and to make more than has been given to us. Now we have a story about judgment. We like to avoid judgment in our world today, don't we? "You can't judge me" is a cliche coming from people who aren't proud of the lives they live. Being seen as judgy or preachy is the best way to get yourself ignored at best, along with the assumed hypocritical. The fact that you can't really decide whether someone else is being judgy without making a judgment yourself disproves that none of us is entirely immune to hypocrisy. But Jesus gets to make judgments. Jesus is God. He knows everything, including our side of the story. And he knows the rest of the story, whether we want to think about the rest of the story or not. He is the perfect judge, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. In this story, Jesus tells about what will happen at the second coming, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. He will sit on the throne of his glory and sort out the people into those who are his kind of people and those who are not. This story is enormously influential. Mother Teresa cited this passage as the reason that she moved to Calcutta and did the work that she did. "I was moved recently to learn that nearly the last words of a man I greatly respected were asking his wife if she believed he was a sheep. That man's name was Mr. Fred Rogers." This story is often misused to teach what a theologian would call works righteousness, the idea that you can earn your way into heaven if you just do enough good things for enough people. This is a false idea and a dangerous one. Not one of us is good enough to earn our way into heaven. Not one of us is good enough to earn God's grace. That's why it's grace. Seen in perspective, the difference between the best of us and those who are struggling is small. If you remember Jesus' analogy about forgiveness, every one of us has been forgiven billions of dollars by God, and we're quibbling over 10 bucks. The danger of this idea is that it makes us focus on self-righteousness and on justifying ourselves instead of focusing on genuine righteousness, on loving God and loving our neighbors. The danger of this idea is thinking that this story of Jesus, and by extension, life itself, are all about it, what's in it for me. 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 My righteousness, my justification, my salvation. That's not what this story is about. What this story is about is mentioned, but Jesus doesn't capitalize it and put it in big letters. Like the other parables, he wants us to pay attention and to think about what he says. Jesus says to the sheep that they'd given him food when he was hungry, given him something to drink when he was thirsty. He tells them that they had welcomed him when he was a stranger and took care of him when he needed to be taken care of. He responds that just as you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. He tells the goats that they refused him food and drink when he needed them, that they did not welcome him or take care of him when he needed it. The goats are indignant and ask when they did that If they'd known it was Jesus, they would at least have taken him around the corner for a cup of coffee, right? He tells them, that's kind of the point. Truly I tell you, just as you did not do that to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Here's what this story is about. For the people whom Jesus is calling sheep, doing these things for other people is part of who they are. They don't do it out of fear of infernal punishment or hope of heavenly reward. They do it because they see Christ in the other, in the homeless person asking for some food, in the stranger in need, in the sick person in the hospital or the prisoner. They see Christ and they serve Christ. You may see sheep serving in highly public roles or totally behind the scenes, whatever will get the job done. A Jesuit priest once said that a person may do an immense deal of good if they do not care who gets the credit for it. These sheep do an immense deal of good. For the people whom Jesus is calling goats, refusing to do these things for other people is part of who they are. I'm sure that they don't even notice individual people around them who are hurting. If they do, then their hearts are hardened. But they often put on a good act of being righteous. You may find goats in highly prominent positions. You may find them doing a great deal of good in the world. But where you won't find them is serving where there is no glory. Well, as Jesus said of the goats at another time, truly I tell you, they have received their reward. The difference between the sheep and the goats is not doing good in the world. The difference is how and why they're doing it. Truly I tell you, Jesus is present in the poor, in the outcast, in the immigrant, in those on the margins of society. Jesus is present in the transgender person struggling with which restroom to use. Jesus is present in the welfare recipient and the refugee who doesn't yet speak English. Every time we draw a line between the people whom we're comfortable helping and those who we're not, Jesus will be over there with the people on the other side of the line. And Jesus calls us. Come here. Jesus calls us to help people when they need it, not because they deserve it. They don't, any more than we deserve God's grace. Jesus calls on other people to help us when we need it, not because we deserve it. We don't, any more than they deserve God's grace. Jesus calls all of us to help people, to love and care for people, not because they deserve it, but because they are God's children. The American suffragette and activist Dorothy Day put it this way: the gospel takes away our right forever to discriminate between the deserving and the undeserving poor. Personally, I don't always enjoy this. This is not something that makes me super comfortable. But you know, I've looked through this book. I haven't found anywhere in here where God tells us to seek out our own comfort, that should be the goal of our lives. It's not here. This story is not about me. This story is not about you. This story is about Jesus. And this story is about us. This story is about being part of a community. And as Jesus said about the wedding banquet, God issues the invitations, not us. We don't get to choose who's invited. Jesus could have come down here and judged the people into the sheep and the goats and gone home again. That would have been quick and easy. Jesus could have done it in a day. But God did not want to condemn the world. So Jesus came down here to transform us into the sheep we were always meant to be. I tell you, God wants all of God's children to come to the wedding banquet. Even those people you wish weren't there for whatever reason. Even those people whom I wish weren't there for whatever reason. God wants all of God's children to put on Christ, to love their neighbors and take care of each other. And God wants all of God's children to take care of each other, not out of fear or greed, but because we love each other. If fear of eternal punishment and hope of eternal reward was enough, well, some groups of the Hebrew people had that at the time of Christ. Jesus wouldn't have had to come down here. But it doesn't work. That wasn't enough. God does not want to condemn the world, but telling people that God loves them is not enough. God had to show us. And God did. Jesus came down here and was born, lived, died, and was resurrected for us. That's the point of Easter. Telling people that God loves them is not enough. We need to show other people with how we treat them. We need to treat them like Christ is present in them. Because truly I tell you, He is. May we all treat our neighbors in ways that show God's grace and God's love. All of us. All our neighbors. Amen.